May it please this Court. My name is Jessica Boyle, and I represent the petitioner, Ms. Juana Palico-Perez. I wish to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This petition for review comes before this Court as an appeal from the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals denying Ms. Palico her asylum and withholding of deportation claims. The record before the agency, based on Ms. Palico's credible testimony, her written asylum application, and supporting documents, demonstrates that Ms. Palico qualifies and merits approval of her asylum and withholding of deportation applications. The facts show that Ms. Palico is a Quiche Indian from Guatemala. Her father, a human rights activist, accused the Guatemalan military of indiscriminately shooting at villagers. Her husband spoke out against an American oil company, which was closely associated with the Guatemalan government at a time when such activities were considered pro-guerrilla. He also agreed to lend support to the guerrilla movement. She was involved with charitable activities of welcoming back refugees, which was equated with having an anti-government political opinion. The military was told that her home in San Lucas was being used as a safe house for guerrillas, and she was growing food for them. As a result of her and her family's race and these actual and perceived political opinions, the Guatemalan army burned her husband alive. Her brother was bound, beaten, called a guerrilla, and on a separate occasion kidnapped. The Guatemalan military forced her to relocate and restricted her access to food. She was personally threatened by an ex-soldier. She and her family received numerous death threats delivered to their homes even after relocating between the years of 1988 and 1997. In August of 1997, men came to her home, questioned her family as to her whereabouts, and left two threats directed to her. The agency's conclusions in denying her claims are not supported by substantial evidence.
What do we do with the changed country conditions finding?
Well, the documentary evidence that was provided does support her claims in the sense that it does state that there was a peace accord that was signed in December of 1996, but it also states that there were continuing human rights violations. And in particular, there were human rights violations committed by ex-military commissioners that people in villages were particularly feared, the military commissioners, and that indigenous and rural people were targeted. So I would submit that the background reports do establish that the government has not met its burden of a preponderance of evidence to show that the country conditions have changed. Under the precedent decisions of Lim v. INS, Ruano v. Ashcroft, and Salazar v. INS, there's compelling evidence in the record that supports a finding of past persecution. The rule set forth in Lim is that death threats, without more, may not rise to the level of past persecution. However, death threats combined with close confrontation and harm to family members may constitute past persecution. In Lim, the court held that because the petitioner was not harmed, interrogated, detained, trespassed upon, or closely confronted, and whose family members remained unharmed, that there was not sufficient evidence for a finding of past persecution. In Salazar, the court found that the record compelled a finding of past persecution in part because the petitioners beat the petitioner's parents in addition to sending death threats to Salazar himself. In addition, in Ruano, because the petitioner had narrowly escaped confrontation on several occasions and was pursued at his home, this court found that he did establish past persecution. Ms. Palico received numerous death threats at her home. Persecutors confronted her family members while leaving the August 1997 threats. Her family members were murdered, kidnapped, and beaten, and she was closely confronted by an ex-soldier. Under this court's precedent, this amounts to past persecution. Moreover, she has established that she will be persecuted in the future. She stated she fears she will be killed if she is returned to Guatemala. Reports from many organizations demonstrate that indigenous and perceived pro-guerrilla individuals are not safe in Guatemala. And if there's no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
What was the evidence that a greedy cousin wanted her land, and that's what was causing her trouble?
The judge did question whether her cousin Manuel would be interested in the land. and therefore have sent the letters. But Ms. Palico testified consistently that she believed that the letters were from the military. In addition, in the August 1997 letters, her children wrote to her that the men that delivered the letters to the home were unknown, and that she testified that Manuel, her cousin, would have been known in the village. So I don't believe that the judge's beliefs that they were sent by Manuel is supported by substantial evidence. And he also further finds, he ultimately concludes that they were fabricated by herself, which would imply that he didn't believe that they were sent by her cousin Manuel, that instead she fabricated. But that decision was overturned by the Board of Immigration Appeals. So I believe the judge himself believed that they were not sent by her cousin.
Thank you.
If it please the Court, my name is Don G. Scroggin, counsel for the respondent in this case, the United States Attorney General. Your Honors, this is a case about generalized civil strife in Guatemala and generalized lawlessness during the civil war in Guatemala between the government and the guerrillas. The heart of this case rests upon two foundations that the immigration judge found to find that there is no past persecution on account of any protected ground. The first was that any harm that had occurred to the petitioner did not rise to the level of persecution because it was only unfulfilled threats. The second foundation of the immigration judge's decision was that even if these threats did rise to the level of persecution, they were not on behalf of any protected ground. There's no evidence that any of the threats of harm came to the petitioner because of her native Indian race or because of her allegedly imputed political opinion. Bottom line is the petitioner herself was never harmed. With respect to the imputed political opinion, it is essential in order for a political opinion to be imputed that it actually be imputed by the alleged persecutor. Here there's no evidence that petitioner had any real or imputed political opinion. If I might look to one pillar of the immigration...
When you say there's no evidence of imputed opinions, first of all, her husband was killed, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. Her husband was killed.
And her brother was kidnapped and beaten, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, isn't it, you know, logical to, if she were threatened, that the threats were the result of her association with her brother and her husband?
Your Honor, first of all, her husband was killed not for a political reason, but because he spoke out against an oil company. It's uncertain why he was killed. As for the brother was abducted, but for unknown reasons and by unknown people, currently lives safely in Guatemala and attends university. In neither case is it clear that the harm suffered by her family members was on account of a political opinion, and certainly there's no evidence in the record that anyone ever imputed any political opinion to the petitioner in this case, Ms. Palico Perez.
What about the decapitation of the fellow villagers that the others were forced to observe?
Your Honor, the nation was at civil war. During a time of warfare, there are often atrocities.
Isn't that clearly political?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't that clearly political?
It may have been, Your Honor, but it was not directed at petitioner.
It wasn't?
There's no evidence that any of the perpetrators of that crime intended it to
Why would they force her to watch the decapitation if they did not want it to have some effect upon her?
It was no evidence, Your Honor, that she was treated any different from the other people who were forced to watch that decapitation. And it's essential that petitioner must be...
So in other words, you're saying nobody in the village was subject to political persecution?
I'm saying, Your Honor, that the what's required by the law of this circuit is the petitioner must be singled out from the general strife for persecution, that she must show she's at particular risk. The case of Singh in this circuit stands for that proposition, that her harm was appreciably different from the dangers faced by her fellow citizens during a civil war. That's required in order to find that Ms. Pellico Perez was persecuted or singled out, and there's no evidence that she was treated differently. Your question, I would suggest, Your Honor, stands for the proposition that she was much like the other villagers forced to watch, but there's no evidence she was singled out in particular, and that is required in order to find that she suffered persecution because of a political opinion. Referring to the, if I might turn to the incidents of past persecution, alleged past persecution, these consist primarily of threats. There's no indication that the hardship associated with the civil war in any way was intended to be directed specifically at Ms. Pellico Perez, nor that it was anything other than the hardships of the civil war. For example, the starvation that she relates that happened in the mid-1970s, when the government moved her village away from the foothills and mountains. The evidence in the record shows that that village was forced to move away from the mountains specifically for their safety. It did indeed create hardship because they were not able to farm their fields. But the government did that not to persecute the village, but for its safety, because the guerrillas were in the mountains and the government intended to bomb the mountains. Her husband's killing, which this court has referred to earlier, may indeed have been tragic, and indeed it might have even been political, but there's no evidence that anyone imputed her husband's political opinion to the petitioner in this case. There's clearly no well-founded fear of a future persecution should Ms. Pellico Perez return to Guatemala in light of the December peace accords. She arrived in the United States in January of 1996, having suffered the general hardship that is common in the strife of a civil war in Guatemala. 11 months later, in December of 1996, a peace accord was reached between the government and the guerrillas. And while no society is perfect, there is still some injustice in Guatemala. The evidence is overwhelming that there has been a dramatic change as the guerrillas have disarmed, have become a political party rather than an armed group, and that a judicial system has been set up. And that
isn't the basis for the board's decision, is it?
The board affirmed the immigration judge's decision, except for the minor change of not punishing Ms. Pellico Perez for what the immigration judge said was an alleged.
Did they make a finding of changed country conditions?
He found that there is no well-founded fear, Your Honor.
And which is different.
No well-founded fear based upon the peace accords. The country
was that the basis for the finding?
Yes, it was, Your Honor. He went the immigration judge went in great detail through all of the evidence in the
record.
Can you
give me the page number of that?
The immigration judge's decision, Your Honor?
Of where he said it's the there's no well-founded fear of future persecution because of the changed conditions.
The immigration judge says on page 29, Your Honor, that the petitioner has never been harmed, and that he finds the respondent has failed to establish a well-founded fear of persecution. He described in detail
based on her past claim.
That's
okay.
Correct. He did review in detail, however, the Department of State reports, as well as the reports of the other groups, such as Amnesty International. He reviewed those reports in detail, and those would be very much in his mind.
But he doesn't rely on it in his decision.
You're quite correct, Your Honor. He does not at this point. I stand corrected on that point. I would emphasize that the burden is on petitioner to establish evidence of past persecution and a well-founded fear of future persecution. And the standard of review in this court is quite clearly laid out. Petitioner argues that there's an alternative conclusion that can be reached from this evidence, that she suffered past persecution and that it was on account of a political opinion, and that she has a well-founded fear of future persecution. It's important to understand that even if this court were to agree that this alternative finding of petitioner is correct, or that they agree that it is a preferable decision to that found by the judge, that is not sufficient to overturn the immigration judge's decision. Rather, this court must find on the basis both that she has suffered past persecution and that it was on account of her political opinion or imputed political opinion, and they must do that. This court would have to determine that the evidence was so compelling that any reasonable fact finder would reach that conclusion. The petitioner respondent would suggest that this record cannot support an overturn of the immigration judge's decision.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to first address respondent's claim that this was just generalized violence. Indeed, the record shows that Ms. Palico was targeted based on her imputed political opinions. The violence that was directed towards the villagers in general was based on their perceived pro-guerrilla affiliations. For example, when they were confined to the center of town, they were told that if they were to leave, they would be killed for having aided the guerrilla movement. Her family members were known as activists in the community. Her father had accused the Guatemalan military of shooting at villagers, and it was shortly after this that her family began to receive death threats. The death threats were directed to the Palico family, and so Ms. Palico would be part of that targeted group. In addition, her husband was killed because of his political beliefs. He was killed shortly after having agreed to lend support by growing food for the guerrillas. And also, his outspoken beliefs against the oil company were considered to be pro-guerrilla beliefs because at the time, the guerrillas had come into that oil company and kidnapped, I believe, 10 of the American workers there. And so the oil company outspoken beliefs against the oil company would have been perceived as pro-guerrilla at the time. And this court's decision in Navas has stated that spouses of political activists, there is an imputed political opinion towards them. In addition, Ms. Palico herself was targeted apart from her her union in her family. She was living in a house that was told was a safe house for the guerrillas. I believe this is a house that her husband had also lived in and was growing land. And the government believed that this was a guerrilla safe house. Shortly after this, she received letters directed specifically to herself. And even after relocating, she received letters directed to herself, not to her family members in general. This case is based on an imputed political opinion, based on her connection to her family, and based on the government's belief that she was living in a safe house. And finally, the respondent's assertion that her family members are living safe.
If it's based on an imputed political opinion, then that's not the same as being persecuted on account of being an Indian, is it?
That's correct. I believe that this case demonstrates that she's both persecuted because of her race and because of her political opinion.
So you're claiming both?
I am. I do believe that the claim of imputed political opinion is a stronger claim in this case. And in part because her political opinion of being pro-guerrilla is connected to her being of an indigenous race. The ongoing safety of her family members is not supported by the record. She consistently testified that her belief, her knowledge of her family members was based on the time that she left. So at the time of the hearing, there's no proof of ongoing safety members of her family. I request that this court remand the petition for review solely for a determination as to whether, in the Board of Immigration Appeals' discretion, she would qualify for asylum. I believe the record shows that her asylum application is – she qualifies for asylum and the withholding of deportation.
Wouldn't we have to remand for a determination of changed country conditions?
In this Court's recent decision of Lopez, the Court did remand for changed country conditions, but this case is distinguishable from Lopez. In Lopez, the Court held that because the immigration judge had only devoted two sentences to changed country conditions, that it was not a sufficient individualized determination. But here, on page 143 of the record, which is page 26 of the judge's decision, he does go into detail. And I see my time is out.
No, just a moment. I'm sorry, it's page what?
143 of the certified record. At the bottom. The Court finds that the background material regarding the peace process shows that the guerrillas have been given amnesty, that the Army has lost interest in people aiding the guerrillas. The background material primarily shows that high-profile individuals, such as human rights activists, and that he concludes that not somebody who simply was accused of giving food to the guerrillas 10 years ago. So I believe he did attempt to make an individualized determination of past, of changed country conditions in regard to Ms.
Pico. I think that's what that amounts to.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Case just argued is submitted for decision. We'll hear the next case.